we're looking at Philippians 2, 1 to 11. I have to say, when I was a teenager and a young adult, one of the biggest things I struggled with, I think I've shared this before, is insecurity. I had a real difficult time really feeling like I had a place, really feeling like I was seen, not in the sense that, oh, Carolee, you're so awesome, but in the sense that people understood me or knew me. And I know that even as we grow up and we get a little bit older, that still can be a struggle sometimes to really feel like you have a place, that you're seen. And there were times where it would hold me back because of fear. I would worry about what people thought about me, and I would worry about making mistakes. I would worry about making a mess. I would worry, all these different things. But, and then people would talk about being humble. And I think, well, I have, you know, I'm so insecure. What is that? I don't have to worry about being humble. But I slowly started to learn as I went deeper in my relationship with God that insecurity is not humility. It's not a humble thing. That's a pride thing. And so we're going to be talking about humility today, and a little later I'll tell you what a difference God has made in my life, and as God has brought me more and more towards humility, don't worry, I have not yet arrived, I know that, but as I've gotten closer to Jesus, how free I've felt in that process. We're starting in Philippians 2, verses 1 to 4. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together with the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try and impress others, but be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. This week, I was trying to, that part of the verse where it talks about, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together? I was like, yes, yes, there is. Yes, there is. And I was trying to think of an example of what a difference Jesus makes in our lives. What transformation takes place. And I have to be honest, I was working on my computer, and John, my husband, was working too at the table. And our kids were playing while we were both working, and they kept on coming up to me and talking to me. And then John would get up to get a drink, and he'd poke me. And I have to say, it's really hard to concentrate when you're trying to write and people are kind of, you know, trying to have fun with you, which is nice that they want to have fun with you, but it was hard. So I took a break. I'm like, I need to take a break. So I started watching a YouTube video, and it was a YouTube video of a humpback whale. And this humpback whale actually had gotten caught in a gill net. And this family, they were out on a Zodiac cruising the bay, I assume, and they noticed this whale floating in the water. And when I read the write-up, the person who was writing it said, when we actually came up to the whale, we thought that she was dead. She was just floating there, not even moving. And then as they got really close, all of a sudden she exhaled. And of course, the air and water came out of her blowhole, and they knew she was alive. And so they came up close to her, and they could see that she had gotten caught in a net. It had actually wrapped around her fins, her dorsal fins, as well as around her tail fluke. So she was slowly losing energy. She was slowly dying in this net. And I could not help but think that that is what life is like before Jesus. Before Jesus, we are struggling. And sometimes we're not even aware that we're struggling because we're just in the environment we're used to. We're floating along in the water, and yet with every breath that we take, we are getting closer and closer to succumbing to the thing that we're tied up in, the thing that has bound us up. This whale was so wrapped up, they started, all they had was a tiny little knife, a little pocket knife. They're like, well, we're going to try. We've got to try. She's still alive. We got to try. So they took this little pocket knife, and at first, because she was bound up, it was relatively safe. The man jumped into the water, swam over to her, and he started cutting away this net. As she got a little bit free, you can see in this picture, she started to swim away from them. And I thought, man, that's just like us. As soon as Jesus, you know, we come to meet Jesus and he starts to set us free from all those things, all those hang-ups we have, and we just kind of take off. Instead of just really letting him to clear away the things that are kind of holding us back and pulling us down. But they held on to the net, just like Jesus holds on to us. And as the whale pulled them for meters and meters through this water. But as the whale pulled, they kept on working at cutting away this net. And they finally got the whale free. Of course, the whale was so happy it turned around and waved. No. The whale was so happy it swam off quite quickly. It was so excited. And I think that's so cool that this whale is set free and now this whale is living. And they said, you know, they turned around to the camera and they're like, we just saved a whale today. Like, yeah. And it was so awesome. And that's how I feel when, and even our staff, when we have staff meetings and we talk about people who have come to know Jesus, we're like, yeah, so awesome. People know Jesus. So great. Because Jesus truly does set us free. It's amazing. So when we read this verse where it says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? The answer is a resounding yes, there is encouragement in belonging to Christ. Any comfort from his love, any fellowship together with the Spirit, are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try and impress others. Be humble. Verses 5 and 6, they continue. They say, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. In the NIV, it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. The Christian life has so many weird things about it, like so many contradictions, or I don't even know if contradictions is the right word. When you compare how Christians are meant to think and how the world thinks, there's so many things that are at odds. Like you think about it, the way to true healing is to embrace your brokenness. How weird is that? To admit that you need that healing. Love those you love, but also love those who hate you. The only way to really gain anything is to sacrifice. It's in serving that we find freedom. You think about all these things. The only way to truly live is to die to self. It's so all these weird, strange things that are so at odds with the way the world thinks. And the big one for me is fear of God leads to trust. Fearing God is really important, and this is the key to humility, and that's primarily what we're talking about today is humility. The fear of God is so important because it's the basis for everything. If you really want to feel peace, if you really want to feel joy, if you really want to feel love, you have to have a fear of God. You have to understand that he is so much bigger, so much greater than who we are, and yet he loves us so deeply and so firmly. We have a song that we sing here, and it's reckless love. His love is reckless. It's not only reckless, it's relentless. He does not ever stop loving us or letting us go. When we truly trust God, we let go of our rights and privileges, which is huge, because so much of what's going on in the world today feels like I've got to fight for my right, I've got to fight for my freedom, And I'm not saying you need to be a human doormat. That's not what this is about. But what we need to do is to come to a place where we trust God enough to live our lives with open hands, where we're not protecting our own, protecting ourselves, protecting what we have invested in, protecting because we can trust him. He will protect us. He will give us strength. He will help us to move forward. Living a life of humility leads us into a life of full confidence. Confidence in Christ and the work that he is doing in us and the work that he is doing in the world. So we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to overburden ourselves with trying to protect our rights, protect who we are, protect how the world sees us. Because if we're living the way that Jesus wants us to, if we're really being humble and submitting ourselves to God, then we'll be the example of Christ. And that's really what we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be afraid. We don't have to protect Jesus. He doesn't need protecting. He's big enough. He'll take care of that. But that takes humility. Humility in recognizing who God is, what he's done, and that we can trust him. We're following the example of Christ, and this is what it says about Christ. It says, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, is there any way this cup, this task can be taken from me? And as he prayed, he finished off with saying, not my will, but yours. I think sometimes when we talk about following the example of Christ, we put the emphasis in the wrong place. I had this friend, and she's so well-read. In college, I swear, she read more books than anyone else I knew, and more books than, she was 20, more books at 20 than I will probably read in my entire lifetime, and I actually enjoy reading. She was so well-read. But she had this cute habit of placing the emphasis on different syllables. And so this one day we were talking and she said, there's a real problem because of the drug addicts. And I was like, what? She's like, the drug addicts. And I'm like, what's a drug addict? And she goes, someone who's addicted to drugs. And I said, oh, an addict. And she looked at me and she's like, what? And I said, I've just always pronounced that as addict. And she's like, oh, I don't know if I've ever used that word before. She had read so much, and yet she hadn't really had a lot of conversations with those words. And I think sometimes the way that we view the sacrifice that Christ has made, it's kind of like emphasizing the wrong syllable. We look at Jesus and what he's given up for us, and we say, oh yeah, but he's God. Of course he was able to do that. And it undermines the weight of what he's done for us, the sacrifice that he made for us, because we downplay it because, oh well, he's God. So of course he did that. I have had my emphasis fixed in one place. I can have the word right, and I know the definition, but I can be completely missing the point. Jesus is God, and yet he did not cling to all the power and supremacy that offered. Think of this. The one who formed creation with limitless power, creativity, and energy contained himself, restrained himself to become like me and like you. Jesus, the very expression of God on earth, He gave himself up for the world, a world that for thousands of years and millions of chances continued to deny him, continued to reject him, continued to mock him, disobey him, and even hate him, and eventually would crucify him. He did this because he loves me, and he did this because he loves you. He did this because he loves us. And I have heard Jesus described as weak. Even those who crucified him mocked him. Luke 27:38-44 says, two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, you are going to destroy the temple and build it up in 3 days. Save yourself. Come down from that cross if you are the Son of God. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, but he can't even save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. And I have to ask myself, what kind of God would let himself be treated this way? What kind of God would allow himself to be mocked and ridiculed in the very moment he was giving everything up for us? The only God who ever would and who ever could is Jesus. He's the kind of God who would give up everything for us. He did not give up everything because he was weak. He gave up everything for us because he loved us. He did this because he loves us, and he did it because he is the only one who ever could. True humility chooses to approach every moment as an opportunity to serve and bring glory to the one who gave up everything for me. I need to refrain from taking ownership over the projects I work on at work, taking ownership over my accomplishments, taking ownership over my family, my marriage, my very life supposedly belongs to Christ. We even use the expression, I've given my life to Christ, but I find it so easy to forget that that's who my life belongs to. To refocus, I need to look to Jesus and all that he gave up. And when I remember this, I experience joy. Submission and willingness to serve, not out of duty, but out of joy. Living a life of humility will lead me into a life full of love. God-centered humility recognizes the immensity of God's love and grace and mercy, and that recognition leads me to be more loving and gracious and merciful. Humility comes from a fear of God. Unless I recognize how truly great God is, how am I really going to trust him? How can I really let go of trying to control everything if I don't fully trust God? Humility recognizes how much I really need him. And I really need him in every way. We are so good at forgetting that. A couple weeks ago, Christian spoke, and he talked about how it's like trying to take over a job that's already been started by someone else. And we do that so often. Jesus is working in our lives. The Holy Spirit is changing us from the inside out, transforming us. And yet we still try and jump in behind the wheel and take control. And it stunts our growth. It stunts our health spiritually, and it hinders us from getting closer to Jesus. We have to let that go and trust God that he's at work in us. Yes, we're going to mess up. We are totally going to mess up. I am telling every single one of you here, you're going to mess up. The key is to recognize that, and when we do, go to God, ask for forgiveness, and move forward. Let it go and leave it in the past. Because why? Because of what Jesus did. It all comes back to what Jesus did. And if we are constantly living in that place where we remember what Jesus did for us, the result is humility. And when we live a humble life, then God can really work. He can really do some amazing things. The focus is not meant to be on how humble we are. The focus is supposed to be on how great God is. And when we focus on how great God is, He can really help us to love others. That love and that mercy that He poured out on us, He's not only pouring it out on us, He's pouring it into us so that we can love others. And we can love others the way that He loves them. Choosing to serve one another, choosing to forgive, choosing to love, choosing to obey Jesus, that shows the world just how free we are. That shows the world just what kind of God we serve. A God who loves us so much, He gave everything up for us. Our great, awesome, amazing, loving God gave up everything for us. And the interesting thing is, it didn't make Him less. It didn't diminish Him. Verses 9 to 11 says, therefore, God exalted Him, elevated Him to the place of highest honor, and gave Him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When we embrace humility, we live out of the place where we are truly set free. The interesting thing about this video that I watched was, I honestly thought there was only four people in the boat. I know that sounds funny because you guys haven't seen the video yet, but there was a guy at the motor, there was a guy with a knife, and another person kind of seen behind them, and then, of course, the camera person. But when I finished watching to the end, I realized there was one more person in the boat. And because you could hear them off camera, the whale actually swam out about 500 yards and then started breaching. And I don't mean just little jumps. They said it breached at least 15 times as high as it could go, launch itself into the air. And this little voice, this little tiny voice comes on the video. And the video catches what they have to say. The little voice says, Mommy, I know what he's doing. I know what he's doing. And she says, what? What's he doing? He said, he's showing us how free he is. He's showing us how free he is. And you know, that's what serving one another is. That's what loving one another is. It's showing how free we are. The closer we are to Christ, the more humble our lives are, the joy we experience in serving others, because it's just overflowing. And the good news is, as it overflows, He continues to fill us up to overflowing. So it just is this constant gush of joy. And not a ridiculous, silly frivolity, but a joy that is meaningful and strong and powerful and impacts the world around us. A joy that shows the world, this is who God is. This is God's love. This is God's peace. This is God's power. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from His love? Any fellowship together with the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try and impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges and He took the humble position as a slave. and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God, you are awesome. You are powerful. You created the universe, and you are remaking each one of us in your Son's image. God, help us to bow before you, to submit to you, to recognize who you truly are, to humble ourselves so we can become more and more like Jesus, so that we can live lives full of joy. Lives that exhibit and exalt who you are. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Thank you so much. Amen. I hope you have an awesome week. If there's ever a moment where you start to doubt if you're able to do something, if you're able to get through any challenge, remember what Jesus did for you. Remember the sacrifice he made. Remember that the God of the universe made himself small for you. He gave up his life for you because he loves you. And remember this, when we follow Christ, the same power that raised him from the dead is in you. And you have access to that, and you can overcome anything with his help.